Today we want to just touch on a very simple topic. I think many of us will more or less know this, but we're going to talk about the reason for the church to exist. Why have the church today? All right, what's the purpose of the church? It's just a simple lesson. I think most of us will probably have a lot of ideas already. So, what is the purpose? Let's have a word of prayer first, and then after that we'll dive in. Okay, let's have a word of prayer first. Let's pray. Father, we are so thankful that the Lord, in the history of man, from the time you created this world to the time that you will come back, along the way, Lord, you have put certain institutions so that you will be able to guide us in how we need to live in this world. Lord, I pray your Holy Spirit will help us to understand. Firstly, you gave us the family. Thank you, Lord, for the family. And you want the family to be strong. And then, Lord, in Genesis 9, you gave up the government. You want governments to honor you. You want governments to protect the people. And then, Lord, in the New Testament, you give us a new institution, the local church. Father, all this, Lord, institutions are part of your plan to make sure people in this world live a life that will be honoring to you, a life that will be able to have help in times of need as well. But Lord, we also know that Satan wants to destroy every one of these institutions. So Lord, today, even as we just reflect on your word and the purpose for the local church to exist, help us, Lord, to always remember that once we forget this purpose, Lord, we will start going into wrong directions and doing the wrong things. Help us once again to just get back to where your word said and how we as Christians ought to be part and parcel of your institution, as it is in the family, as it is in how we're supposed to submit to our government. But here, Lord, in your word, you're going to teach us, Lord, what is the purpose of the local church and how do we, Lord, build it up. So we thank you, Lord. Thank you for visitors. I pray that you bless them. We thank you also for the prayer retreat that just passed. Oh, Lord, we thank you so much that your Holy Spirit is so wonderful with us as we pray. We look forward to prayer requests being answered. Look forward, Lord, to your will being done. We thank you, Lord. Bless the visitors. Bless our ears. Bless our hearts. Help us to learn from you, Lord. We thank you. We pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay. All right. We'll begin with some discussion, all right? I just want to ask the question. What is the purpose of the church? Okay. When you come to church, when you attend church, why do you come to church? What's the purpose of the church? Anyone? Okay, purpose of the church is to glorify God, definitely. Okay. One of the reasons, glorify God. What else? Specifically from the Bible, what is the purpose of the local church? It evangelized the world, okay, amen. What else? What else? Sorry? To carry out the Great Commission, okay, glorify God, carry out the Great Commission, evangelize the world, what else? To baptize believers, to instruct believers, amen. What else? What else? To edify believers. Okay, so we taught you the whole lesson already, so you don't have to, okay. The main purpose, alright, if there's anything in our mind, if you're not too sure, there's two main things, alright, that we need to remember. Let's turn to a passage, Matthew chapter 28, okay, in the Bible. We use the Bible all the time. We believe the Bible is God's word. It shows us God's truth, and not man's truth, not my truth, not anyone's truth, but God's truth. So let's turn to the Bible, Matthew 28. It is a very... there's some more. Oh, that's enough. Some more here. All right, Matthew 28 and verse 18 to 20. Okay? So, let's read all the three verses together. Okay? Matthew 28, 18 to 20. The purpose of the church. Ready? One, two, go. And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Okay? The main purpose here, we see Jesus actually met them. Look at verse 16. Then the 11 disciples went away into Galilee, into a mountain where Jesus had appointed them. Jesus made an appointment with the apostles. Why were there 11? Why were there not 12? Because one of them betrayed Jesus and hanged himself. Okay, just to to make it clear. So 11 of the disciples went there. Jesus told them to go to the mountain. And then when they saw him, it's interesting, this whole group of people, which is supposed to be representing the church, okay, the apostles representing the church, then they saw him. Some of them worshipped Christ, but some of them doubted him. Which tells us that sometimes within the local church, some people may not fully believe, some people may not be fully committed to it, but some of them are. You know what Jesus said? He still gave them the Great Commission, and that's something that we have to understand. Sometimes when a task is given by God, some people are doing, some people are not doing. You know what we need to do? Still keep on doing. Because there's a task ahead. Okay? So in verse number 18, Jesus then said, "All power is given unto me in heaven and in earth." The word power means authority. The word power means permission. The word power means this is the authority I have and is given to me in heaven and in earth. In other words, Jesus is overall in charge. And then in verse 18, he says, "Go ye therefore." Because I have authority, because I'm in charge of this entire situation right now, I'm commanding you, apostles, to go ye therefore into all the world. You know, the more I read this passage, I know it's been preached again and again, the more the new things beginning to come, the Lord actually says, this is his heart. My authority I'm giving to you, I want you to go. Go ye therefore and teach all nations. Teach all nations. There are two teach there if you look at 19 and 20. Go ye therefore and teach all nations. In verse 20, teaching them to observe all things. The word first teach in 19 and the teaching in verse 20 are two different teach. Although it's translated teach. Okay. The first teach has the idea of enrollment. Enrollment. Now it's go therefore and enroll all nations. What does that mean? That's why you get the idea of evangelism. Go and reach them, teach them about the gospel so that they can participate and join in, okay? And get them enrolled. Evangelism is a very, very big part of the Great Commission, okay? And then, the next teach is to instruct them in the truth. Disciple them. So, the two main purposes which you have in your notes, the main purpose of the local church is twofold. And I hope Ambassador will never forget and never get bored. And never get tired. Some churches get tired of this. So I think we need to do different. And they focus on the major on things which are not supposed to be the major part. Things like fellowship, they come to a lot of social activities, but they forget about evangelism, they forget about discipleship. Okay? So the two main purpose for the church existence is to evangelize the world and to build up or edify believers. I always refer them as the two E's. Evangelize and edify. Okay, the word edify means to build up. After we talk about that a bit more. The main purpose for the church existence is to evangelize the world and to build up believers. To build up believers. Okay? Question, why did Jesus institute the church? Rajani, didn't we just talk about that? Why? What is the main purpose? Let's turn to Matthew chapter 16. Okay, Matthew 16, 18. Jesus himself, when he said, "I will build my church," what is the main purpose? With this verse in Matthew 16, 18, it captures totally the heart of our God. If you're a Christian, this is the heart of God. Okay, Matthew 16, 18. Let's read together. Okay, please stop me, all right? If there's any questions, you know, and ask questions pertaining to the point made. Let's read Matthew 16, 18. Ready? 1, 2, go. "And I say unto thee, that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it." Okay? Jesus told Peter that you are Peter. Peter means a small rock. "But upon this rock I will build my church." Now in verse 17, the rock, of course, is the Lord Jesus Christ. But in specific context, it refers to the confession that Jesus is God. Does it make sense? Upon this rock, upon this unchanging truth that Jesus Christ is God, I will build my church. Every local church, every person who joined the local church must have a personal conviction that Jesus Christ is God. That's why we get people to share their testimony. Okay, for before they join the church, before they get baptized. Why? Because the people coming in, we must be sure that this person knows that Jesus Christ is God. Okay? If you come and don't make a clear declaration of that, if the person would join in but don't really understand that, if they actually, some people don't believe that Jesus is God. You know, like the Mormons or the Jehovah's Witnesses, they don't believe that Jesus is God. They believe they are a lesser God or created God. Okay? And some churches don't even believe that that Jesus is second class. Or some people, some religions believe that Jesus is a prophet. No, he is God. Okay? And so, that's the rock. Upon this rock, Jesus says, I will build my church, and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. This tells us that the local churches, okay, to put it in the terms, that will attack the gates of hell and take captive hell's prisoners. Basically, evangelism. Okay, every time we go out, do you realize every time we knock on the door, every time we share the gospel with someone, we are storming the gates of hell. In other words, we are going in and say, I want this. I like what evangelists say, we need to plunder hell to populate heaven. Plundering means we go in to get these people out so that we can populate heaven. Okay? So the purpose of the local church, last time we used to say that, people used to say that the gates, that the church must always be on the defensive. Because the gates, you realize we are to storm the gates. The gates of hell are on the defensive. We should be on the offensive. Now we should be sharing the gospel. Every time we share the gospel, every time we mention the word of God, every time we live the Christian life, every time we pray, even in public, okay, for over maybe, and then we give thanks for your food, right? We pray, I'll give thanks for your food. Every time we do something kind to someone, know what we're doing? We're inserting goodness into this world of sin. That's very important. We're inserting goodness into this world of sin. Where you know, usually people are apathetic, they don't do anything, but you know, when we are kind, when we do kindness, when we are patient, when we are gentle, when we show care and concern, when we are willing to do things that are right, we are actually injecting goodness into this world. And that's an important thing for Christians to understand. Why? Because God calls us the salt of this earth. Okay? We'll talk about that later. Alright? Any questions? So, some reasons for the existence of a church. There's 8 reasons. Okay. The first reason we've talked about, to preach the gospel and to make disciples of all nations. These are the 2 things. We must preach the gospel to all nations, not just in Singapore, but make disciples of all nations. Okay, those are the various passages that we oftentimes refer to. Maybe we just refer to one. Let's look at Luke chapter 24. Okay, Luke chapter 24, just... Luke 24, just one passage, verse 47. Read from verse 45. Okay, I'll read, then you just follow along. Okay, this is a time that after Jesus rose from the dead, and then after that, after he's finished his teaching and eating, he began to share the gospel. Or rather, he shared the Great Commission. Apparently, Jesus gave the Great Commission in different parts. Okay? This is one of the parts. Luke chapter 24, verse 45, the Bible says, then open he the understanding that they might understand the scriptures. The scriptures refer to the Bible, the Old Testament. The Old Testament of the Bible tells what is going to happen in the New Testament. Okay? And he said unto them, thus it is written, and thus it behooved Christ to suffer. It is written means it has been confirmed in black and white in the Old Testament. It is written, and thus it behooved Christ. That means Christ has to suffer. Luke chapter 24 and verse 46. It behooved Christ to suffer and to rise from the dead the third day. That's what the Old Testament said. In verse 47, and that repentance and the remission of sins. Repentance means a change of mind about sin. And remission means the forgiveness of sin should be preached in his name among all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. Okay, beginning practically for us, beginning where we are, from our families, and perhaps our neighbors. Then we're part of the local church, we reach out. Okay? We need to preach 2 things, repentance and remission of sins. That all men on planet earth who have a sinful, who we are all sinners, that everyone who is born in sin might understand God loves them, God wants to forgive their sin, and this has to be taught to them, preached to them, so that they can have a change of mind. Okay? And this is important because some people don't believe they're sinners. Some people believe they're good. Some people believe, oh, I hope I'll go to heaven. You know, I've been doing good works. I've been giving money to charity. I make sure I don't hurt anyone. I was just talking to, I think some of you know, Brother Howe, and he came. And he's saying that he has two friends. And one of the friends he talked to, he's not a Christian. He's just the most pleasant personality. You know? He won't hurt anyone. He talks nicely. He's very considerate. But he's not saved. He still needs Christ as his Savior. He was praying about bringing him, but he couldn't make it today. So, but we need to tell the gospel. Okay? That's the first part. But the second part is actually we are to disciple all nations. We are to make disciples of everyone that come in. In other words, those people who come in, it's not just, you know, nowadays, it's happening in many, many churches, big churches, that people can just walk in, listen to the message, get blessed, go home. And then after that, all they come to church is to get something. This is not the purpose of the church. Of course, as a church, if someone is in need, we must open our hearts to help them. Right? If someone is in need, we have many the children who come to our Sunday school who may not be from very good families. You know, the Sunday school teachers reach out as a church. We reach out as well. We need to do the good things. But this is only one part of the church, small part. We need to meet the needs. But the main goal is to actually disciple the people. In other words, anyone who comes into the church, over a few months, they need to have a hunger. They need to grow. And when someone needs to actually disciple them, we thank God that people, someone has, my wife was sharing with me, one of the ladies who have been coming for many, many months have indicated the willingness to be baptized, you know, and it's a good opportunity right now to work with that person. And why? Because we've been consistently just preaching God's word, just living the life. God has planted the seed, we just sowed by our honest living, our good living, and God, by His grace, is giving the increase. And that is an important thing, okay? But you know, ultimately, the goal is for everyone who has trusted Christ to become a disciple of Christ. A disciple of Christ. When we talk about disciple, don't think of those people who wear special robes or special cloth and go to special place and do. We're just ordinary people having God in our hearts that we live for Him on a daily basis. Okay? Showing the love of Jesus where we go. Alright? So the first one is to preach the gospel and to disciple all nations. And this discipling process requires all of us to be involved. Okay? One person cannot disciple. One person can follow up one person, but you know, we need to encourage one another to do the job. Okay, that's one. The number two one, any questions? Okay, I'll just read this. The main reason God leaves His church in this world is to save people from hell by preaching the gospel. Okay, there was one guy who wrote in his autobiography, one day, Dr. William Grenfell, how many of you know Dr. William Grenfell? Some of you know Dr. William Grenfell, he's actually a missionary, okay? And to Labrador. He was actually a guest at a dinner and in England. So there were a lot of prominent, very popular person sitting at the same dinner table. And then there was one lady who was seated next to him and said, "Is it true, Dr. Grenfell, that you are a missionary?" Okay, so he kind of turned to him and said, "Is it true that you're a missionary?" Dr. Grenfell looked at her for a moment and then she replied, "Is it true, madam, that you are not?" He wasn't meaning it as a critical remark. It was actually a challenge. Is it true you are a missionary? He said, "Is it true you are not?" You know, every Christian, we want to go to the mission field, but we must have a mission heart. Okay? That means everyone, we must always say, "Lord, what will you have me to do to influence this person in some way for Christ?" Because ultimately our life is to glorify Christ. We may not go to the mission field, but we must have a mission's heart because God has a mission's heart. He said that God is the one who sent the first missionary, His son. In fact, in the Old Testament, when Jonah, you know Jonah? Do you realize Jonah was God's first missionary? Because Jonah was the first prophet of Israel to go to the Gentiles, Nineveh. God sent the first missionary, Jonah. Of course, Jonah rebelled, but after that, he went again. But it shows God's heart, even for people who don't claim to believe in God. But God says, unless you turn, you will repent, okay? You will perish. Unless you turn, you will perish, okay? So that's the first thing. teach the gospel, to disciple people. Okay. Then the next one, the next purpose of the local church is to baptize believers. Okay, Matthew 28, verse 19, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Baptism is an integral part of the Great Commission. It is not necessary for salvation. I make it very clear, Matthew 28, verse 19, I think we all know that. Many of the churches don't believe that. They believe you need to be baptized. There's a particular church called the Church in Singapore. There's Church of Singapore, right? There's only church in Singapore, okay? They believe that God has called them to be a church, like in the church in Ephesus, church in Smyrna, church in Philadelphia. So they call themselves the Church in Singapore, okay? When I was a teenager, I was oftentimes invited to that. What they do is they actually have gospel services on Saturdays. And during the gospel services, the baptism pool will be ready. So immediately after you trust Christ, you go straight down and be baptized. I said, no, you must be baptized, otherwise you're not saved. It's only 50%. That's what they believe. And church in Singapore is still in existence. It's opposite Goldhill Plaza. Okay? Formerly the St. Michael's. You know, St. Michael's. Not St. Michael's. I think St. Michael's, the old St. Michael's there. Then after that, St. Michael's moved. But St. Michael's was there. And opposite the Goldhill Plaza area. Okay? Within there, behind the condos. Church in Singapore. Although baptism does not contribute to salvation at all. Okay? But it is an important identification with Christ. Baptism is an identification with Christ. Just as a wedding ring identifies me to be married to a particular lady. Okay? Alright? There's nothing besides a marriage certificate. But the marriage, wedding ring, wedding band is the one. No matter how tight it is over the years, it's still the symbol. Alright? There was one time I didn't want to wear it because it's so leche, you know. I realized, just wear it. And I remember my pastor in Australia, another pastor. He's quite a big size, and his ring literally, sometimes you can't see the ring, because his finger is
big size.
But thank God we put a soap, I say I can take out my wedding ring band. Oh, you know what? This indicates my relationship to Lydia. Okay? Although it's a physical outward sign, it's an outward sign of her inward heart. Okay? Baptism identifies us with Christ. You know, baptism, we don't really understand the significance of baptism today as the Jewish people did in the previous days. During that time, baptism is a death sentence for many Jews. Okay? Because many of them are of the Jewish religion, kind of like the Muslims today, Jewish religion. And if you actually leave to join another group, you're outcast. They excommunicate you. Even the families will go against you. That's how the Jews actually do that. Okay? And so, that's why in Acts chapter 2, Peter preached, repent and be baptized. As the evidence of your faith, be baptized. You know what it means? No more do you identify with your old religion, you identify yourself with Christ. And identification with Christ is baptism. For us, many of us in the Chinese thinking, you can go to church, you can read the Bible, you can believe, just don't get baptized. Why? Because for them, for the Chinese mindset, is once you get baptized, means you're one of them. Actually, you don't understand, we're already one of them. Getting baptized is just to identify. You know, even today, many Christians from non-believing families, when they get baptized, they also go through a lot of trouble. Yeah, myself, my wife, I think some of you have also gone through that. No struggle between the parents and because of that. But please understand this. Baptism is an important identification with Christ. If someone got saved and don't want to be baptized, we haven't started the process of sanctification where the person becomes more and more like Christ. Baptism is a very important first step of obedience for sanctification. If you're not willing to even obey the first one, it's very hard for us to obey the rest. Okay? Does it make sense? Any questions? Anything to add? Right, baptism. To baptize believers. That's why I do ask people, do you want to be baptized? That's the first step of obedience. Okay? Thank God that there are a few lined up already. So let's be praying for some of these people. If they're young, or old, or lady, or men. So let's pray, alright? Hopefully we have baptism in the next few weeks. Okay. Number three is to edify the believers. Edify the believers. Let's take a few verses. Maybe if Sister Elizabeth, if you can turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 26. And Brother Leong, you turn to 1 Thessalonians 5:11. Shaoling, you turn to 2 Peter 3:18. Let's all turn to Ephesians 4. Next purpose of Matthew 14:26. Ready? So, whenever we come together, Paul is telling the Corinthian church. Because what the Corinthian church was doing, when they come together, they were speaking in tongues, okay, and they were doing their own thing. Another person preached, and they were doing their own thing. And everyone was doing their own thing. You know what Paul says? Let all things collectively be done for the church, to build the church up. Okay, let all things be done unto edifying. Paul is actually saying, as a church, let all things be done for the building up of each other. I want us to take note of this. Whatever we do in the local church, Paul says, let it be done to edify someone else. Everything. Let all things be done. How you play the piano, how you do your cleaning. Let all things be done to the edification of everyone. So when people see it, it becomes an encouragement. Okay? The next verse. 1 Thessalonians 5:11. Paul repeated this because the Thessalonian church was already doing it, where he said, well, comfort yourselves together, continue to build up one another, even as you are also doing. 1 Thessalonians 5:11. Okay, I'm just reading a bit fast. Okay, so let all things be done unto edifying. That's 1 Corinthians 14:26, 1 Thessalonians 5:11. Comfort one another, edify one another. This ought to be the goal of every Christian. Okay, when we come to church, I think I mentioned before, when we come to church with the intention to bless someone else and not seek our own, then everyone is taken care of. We just aim for someone and then we bless that person. Everyone is taken care of. Okay, the next passage is in 2 Peter chapter 3. And verse 18. Okay. Growth in Christ-like character. I just read here. Christ-like character may be cultivated as much as one wishes to possess it. In other words, you will become more Christ-like according to your desire, according to how much you want to grow. But the Bible says to grow in grace and the knowledge, it may be cultivated. Growth in grace may begin as a grain of mustard seed and will increase as it is cultivated. To know Jesus means to, this is important, to know the Lord Jesus means to have the correct understanding of His person as fully God and fully man, knowing Christ Himself, you know Christ's character, you know what He teach, and you know what is His work. Knowing the character of God, the character of Christ, understand that He is God and He is man. You need to know that you know His teachings, and you need to know what He wants us to do. If I were to ask a question, can you give me, okay, maybe very quickly, this side, maybe give me some characteristics of Christ, Jairus. Christ is merciful, okay, Mr. Jamie? Holy, okay, Brother Desmond? Character of Christ. Love? Christ is love. Okay, so immediately, but we don't only say Christ is love, but what does it mean, Christ is love? Christ's love is perfect, unchanging. Christ is holy, He's set apart. In other words, if He cannot stand sin, then must be the implication of His character as well. We understand Him. Okay, if I can ask you, what is Christ's work right now? So Shaolin, you know what is one of Christ's work right now? What does Jesus do right now? Jesus, is He the teacher? Holy Spirit is a teacher, not Holy Spirit is a teacher. Sorry? Okay? The Lord Jesus is our high priest. He intercedes for us. Okay? So we need to, yes, Jesus can teach us too, but the ministry is confined to the Holy Spirit, because the Bible says the Holy Spirit is our teacher and is consistent throughout the Scripture. That's what I mean. Hopefully, it's true that Jesus is a teacher. If we can argue that, that's fine. But the Bible says the Holy Spirit is the teacher. So we need to go by the thinking of the Bible. We depend on the Holy Spirit as a teacher. Whereas the Lord Jesus' role is, He's our high priest. He prays for us. He's a mediator. Also, 1 Timothy 2:5. Okay? Okay? So the Lord Jesus Christ worked. Okay? Can you give me two of the teachings of the Lord Jesus? Anyone? What does Jesus teach us to do? Anyone? What does Jesus teach us to do? Sorry? Love our neighbors as ourselves. That's what he did. I love one another as I've loved you. Okay, one more. One more. Sorry? What? To be meek. Okay, to be meek. Matthew 11:28. Learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart. Okay, Jesus wants us to be meek. So, you know, we need to grow constantly. Because the more, what he said, the more you know a person, the more you will trust that person. Okay? Humanly speaking, sometimes it may go the reverse. But you know, the more you know Jesus, who is holy and He is God and He is compassionate, the more you know Him, the more you trust Him. And that's an important thing. Alright? So let's look at Ephesians chapter 4, verse 11 to 16. Okay? We won't go through all, but we are to build up one another. Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians 4. Verse 11, the Bible says He gave us some apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors and teachers for what? Number one, for the perfecting of the saints, the maturing of the saints. For the building of the maturing. In other words, one of the goals of the church is that every individual Christian must mature, must grow. Which means that there will be conflict because growth requires stress. Okay, but it's an important ingredient of growth for the maturing of the saints. Okay, that's one. Another one is for the work of the ministry. In other words, within the local church, there's work to be done. Do you agree? There's work to be done. People bringing people into the church, someone counseling that person, someone helping that person to grow, etc., etc. And then for the general building up of the whole body of Christ, okay, both in numerical terms, meaning adding to the membership, and also in quality terms, whereby every member is growing. And you know, an indication that we actually talk about many times, the quality of the church is at the end of the day, how many people are actually following Christ, the disciples of Christ. Okay? And that's an important part. So, number three, we have to edify the believers, all right? Point number four is to glorify God. The purpose of the church is to glorify God. Okay? The purpose of the church is to glorify God. In 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 12, if you turn there. 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 12. Let's read together. Ready? 1, 2, go. That the name of our Lord Jesus Christ may be glorified in you and ye in Him. Okay? The purpose of the local church is to glorify the Lord Jesus Christ. Never to point even to the name of the church. Of course, if we have the reputation that where Christ is preached, that's absolutely wonderful. Okay? A reputation is a very, very important thing to uphold, especially with regards to a church, so that people can come and find a place that they can grow in and find help. Okay, so how do we glorify God? We'll take a few verses. Okay, just listen to the verse. There's many of them. Just listen to the verse. Okay, let's see. We'll get a few people from here. Lydia, if you can turn to Psalm 50:23. Then Joanna, you can turn to John 15:8. Agnes, turn to Romans chapter 4, verse 20 and 21. Let me just listen, okay? Brother Robert, you can turn to 2 Thessalonians 3, verse 1. Brother June, you can turn to 1 Peter 4, verse 14 and 16. And then 1 Peter 4:11, Brother Timothy Toriano. And then the last, all of us can turn to Hebrews 13:16. Okay. So how do we glorify God? Okay, these are the small points that we want to take note of. Whoso offereth praise glorifieth me. How do we glorify God in our church? Through our praise in our prayer. Through our praise. So during the worship service, it's important to sing and just give God your best. Alright? Praise glorifies God. Because if you're a non-believer, you come to a church, and the church during worship service and singing, everyone is like half dead. Like, well, they don't believe. But when we praise with our heart, there is a totally different atmosphere. Alright? Because we are uniting together in one. Someone has said, when we sing, we are actually practicing for heaven. Alright? When we worship God on Sundays, you realize we have an audience. The audience is not each other. The audience is God. God is on the throne, and when we sing to Him. Whoso offereth praise glorifies me. Okay, any questions? Okay, the next one. John chapter 15, verse 8. How do we glorify God? Another way we glorify God in our church, even individually, is through fruit bearing. Fruit bearing. Herein is my Father glorified, that ye bear much fruit. That's our message for the Chinese afterwards. But fruit bearing is an essential part of glorifying God. Just as a child honors the reputation of the family and the dad and the mom through good works. Does that make sense? If your child, for example, some of the children are sitting for exams now, you know. Remember, we've got Phoebe, we have Allison, we have Leandra. I pray for them, they're still on the way back from the Philippines. You know, when they do well, okay, or maybe they show a deed of kindness and the teacher say, call the parents, say, hey, your son or daughter did this, and that was very good. You know, through our good works, our parents get honored. The same way when we offer praise through our life, through our singing, we're actually giving praise to God. And that's an important truth for Christian singers. So maybe we can decide in our heart, every time we come for worship service, whether it's someone part here, we just sing, okay? Just sing of our voices. For the purpose of glorifying God. Not for attraction, not to attract other people's attention. Okay? So fruit bearing. Give fruit. One number three is Romans chapter 4, verse 20, 21. Another way we glorify God is by believing and obeying God's word. Abraham staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith, giving glory to God. The way it's phrased, Abraham did not stagger at the promise of God through unbelief. He was strong in faith, and through that, gives glory to God. And being fully persuaded that what he promised, he was able to form trust. Firstly, he was obedient, and he was trusting, believing and obeying God's word. As Christians, we honor God, we glorify God by our obedience to God. Okay? And we have this cartoon called Ben the Baker series. Some of you may know. There's this Roman centurion. His name is what? Tacticus. Okay? Tacticus. Tacticus, and there's another one. Jared, who's the bad guy? Who's the bad guy? Nihilus. Nihilus is a bad centurion, and Tacticus is supposed to be a good one. But both of them are working for the Roman emperor. Both of them are supposed to go and catch the Christians. And so it came to a point of time that Tacticus actually said, this Roman centurion, who's not a believer, but when he looked at the life of these Christians, he actually said this, I wonder why we're catching them. All they want is an opportunity to worship their God. They're good people, you know. Why? Do you realize that is the testimony of the persecutors of the Baptists? If you read the historical records, which I had the privilege of in my study, in one of the studies I did on Baptist history, you realize one of the things, the persecutors could never find anything bad to say about the Baptists. even though they had to kill them. They're hard workers. They know their Bibles. They love their children. They lead their families. They help their neighbors. So why are we killing these people? All because they trusted in Jesus and refused to change their position. I've actually taught through Baptist history before. I'm going to put together. We have a rich heritage of solid Christ-like forefathers who loved the Word of God, and it came out from their lives that people around, even though they killed them, had to say, "But sorry, I have no choice. I have to kill you." But they actually, many of them said, "Why are we killing these people?" They are law-abiding. All they did was they refused to follow Rome's way. Okay, so they believed and obeyed God more than men. And many of them were persecuted and died. Do you know how many Baptists were killed, or rather people, they were called Baptists earlier? 50 million. And to the point that Rome, you know, all roads lead to Rome. Right? And one of the things was, they put a head of every Bible believer, head, along the roads, because all roads leads to Rome. To remind people, don't join these people. Find the Rome. The road was all literally, and it regularly paid 50 million, well, may not refer to 50 million, but many thousands were killed. And one estimated that 50 million divided by 1,000 years, which was for the Dark Ages, thousands of Christians were slaughtered on a daily basis, literally thousands of Baptists were, because of the word. They obeyed God more than men. You know, why we're such a stickler? We don't care for opinions of men. We don't care for what words. We care for this because we truly, I'm a Baptist by conviction. It's important for us to realize our Baptist forefathers had lives that reflected Christ. That is the main thing. Obedience to God's word will reflect the glory of Christ. If collectively as a church, we'll reflect that. I can tell you the light in our area will be irresistible. Because the light of Christ is bright. Okay? Let's work towards that. Let's honor God by our obedience and our faith. The next one, in 2 Thessalonians 3 verse 1. Paul, pray for us so that we can pray that the word of the Lord may have free force and be glorified, even as among you. Preach. Another way we glorify God is by preaching the gospel. By preaching the word, by sharing, by witnessing. Because we're giving honor to God. People may not like it, by the way. If someone is living in darkness for a long time and you shine a light at their eyes, what is their response? A person living in darkness for a long time and you shine the bright light at their eyes, what is their response, firstly? Can you shut their eyes? It's pain, right? That might be the first response. But you know, as they get more used to it, that's why you may need to just dim it down a bit and then look up a bit because they need to see the light, okay? People may not like it initially, but we glorify God by our persistent preaching of the gospel. Not persistent to the point of irritation, okay? We need to be wise. When to back off, okay? When to find another way in. If the person's not ready, we need to pray. We need to ask God for wisdom. What's the best thing to say at that time? If the person's going through a hard time, be a friend. And through that, God can build a bridge to this person. Alright? Okay? So, glorify God by preaching the gospel. The next one, in 1 Peter 4, verse 14 and 16. And this is interesting. Hey, if you be reproached for the name of Christ, happy are ye, for the spirit of glory of God resteth upon you. On their part, he is evil spoken of, but on your part, God is glorified. God can be glorified through your suffering. God can be glorified through your suffering. God can be glorified as a church. There's one statement in the past that has often been used. Persecution purifies the church. Because when persecution comes, those who will stand strong will stand. And those who will not stand strong will leave. And so as a church goes through, that's why the early church grew by leaps and bounds. You know why? As they suffered, they refused to give in. Their faith was strong in Christ. And many of the people who say, hey, these people can actually stand there, face the lions and sing. They have something that we don't have. And I want that. And it's interesting that as they gave up their lives, thousands took their place, fulfilling Jesus' promise, Book of John, when a wheat or grain falls to the ground and dies, it brings forth much fruit. And you know, as a church, as we sometimes we may have to go through certain things. You know, as a Christian church, we need to learn to go through it together. Sometimes it's hard. Sometimes we don't understand why we need to go through certain things, but you know, we need to bend together in our hearts towards the Lord. Lord, help us even as we go through the suffering. Because God says in 1 Peter 4, Peter encouraged the suffering church in 1 Peter 4, 16, yet if any man suffer as a Christian, let him not be ashamed, but let him glorify God on this behalf. For the purpose, as you go through the suffering, give God the glory. And by the way, God can make glory out of our suffering. God can make good out of anything that's sinful. That's our God, okay? So, through our suffering, sometimes God gives Himself glory through us. Okay, the next one in 1 Peter 4, 11. Okay. Peter instructed the Jewish church, remember, if you are preaching, preach the word of God. If you are serving, just do the best you can, okay, of the ability which God giveth, so that what God in all things may be glorified. So the two things is we preaching God's word and serving. How do we glorify God? By preaching God's word and by serving. You shall worship the Lord thy God, and Him only shall thou serve. And it's an important principle for us. We need to be constantly preaching the word. Pastor, I'm not in the pulpit. That's okay. You can still teach the word to someone else. Amen. After service, you could say that someone is very discouraged. You open the word. You're still teaching the word. Okay? Now, every one of us need to know the word. Brother Johnny, I find it hard to read or understand. Then get help. Okay? Get help. All right? If you're weak in a certain subject, what do you do? Sorry, teacher, I'm going to drop the subject. No, you get help. Okay? The teacher may give remedial. The teacher may give extra tuition. Please, if you don't understand God's word, don't shut God out. Get help. Alright, ask someone who is older, ask our youth leaders, ask your Sunday school teachers, ask me, ask more mature men of your congregation. What's the many of us, many of the brethren here have finished FBI, they would have some insights into it. If they may not know, then go and find out, you know. We have lots of information. Preach God's word, serve according to what God has given to us. Alright? In Hebrews 13, verse 6. I'll read, but to do good and to communicate, forget not. For with such sacrifices, God is well pleased. We glorify God by our giving. We glorify God by our giving. The early church gave to minister to the people in need. To the point that you know, in the Old Testament, even the Jewish people gave, that Moses said, hey, enough already, don't give, we have more than enough. When we give, we glorify God. Because you know, when we give and give, it shows that our God has lots of supplies, and God is able to give through us. Okay, and we glorify God, not just in finances, giving of our heart to God. You know, collectively as a church, we need to give God our heart. And God can say, hey, Ambassador Baptist Church, I can trust you. Huh, this is one more project for you. And every time, you know, when we see a project from God, we see it as a privilege. Kind of like the president giving you, can you imagine the president comes to Ambassador, Ambassador, I have a job for you. I want you to minister. Everyone right now, every orphan I want you all to take care of. It's a presidential decree. Everyone in Woodlands, Sembawang, Yishun, that's not true. I'm just giving illustration. Put this on the internet. Let's say the president actually says, I want every orphan to call this number or send email and I can trust Ambassador to take care of them. That would be a privilege, wouldn't it? And we would say, hey, we need to do this, man. The president is asking us to do. We need to get together and we need to plan. We need to. You know what? The King of Kings has told us, Go ye therefore and preach the gospel to all nations. We need to get together as well. All right? By giving our hearts to God. But also by giving our time. In our time, the resources, you know, the most important thing, we need to give ourselves. Let's give ourselves to God. All right? To glorify God. Any questions? Okay, let's move on. Another purpose of the church is to teach believers God's ways. Teaching believers God's ways. Okay? I'll just read a few verses. 2 Timothy 2 verse 2. Let's just turn to that verse. 2 Timothy 2 verse 2. One of the purpose of the local church. 2 Timothy chapter 2 verse 2. Let's read together, alright? 2 Timothy 2 verse 2. Ready? 1, 2, go. And the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men, who shall be able to teach others also. Okay? This is one of the important principles. I heard a message, not so much a message, but I was making a point here. You need to pass the baton. Whatever you've heard, pass it to someone else. Was able to teach someone else. Was able to teach someone else. Was able to teach someone else. Okay? In other words, what you learned today, Brother Tim, you need to be teaching to someone else. Okay? Whatever you teach, or whatever you learn today, wherever they're seated here, someone else needs to know about it. Because that's what God says. Okay? The local church is for the purpose of teaching God's ways. Okay? It's supposed to be a pillar and ground of truth. In Acts chapter 5 and verse 42, let me just read. And daily in the temple and in every house, they ceased not to preach and teach Jesus Christ. They didn't stop. And I hope by God's grace, Ambassador Baptist Church will be a continuous light till that Jesus Christ comes back to teach His Word. Okay? And you know what? It's not just me. Every single one. Whether it's a big group, small group, one-on-one, we need to realize that responsibility for fathers to teach their children, for Sunday school teachers to transmit information, and not just information but also wisdom to the younger ones so that they can live their life in a way that will honor God. Okay? For mothers to instruct through different means, through action, and the powerful influence mothers actually have. Because mothers usually are most with the children to influence the children And sometimes we may not teach in our words, but we teach with our actions. Service and love and kindness and patience, etc. Okay? The local church is to teach the believers God's ways. Let's turn to Hebrews 5:12. And I just want to make a comment about one particular part that Paul mentioned to the Hebrew church, or the Jewish Christians. Okay? Hebrews 5. Verse 10. Okay, I'm going to read. Verse 10 to 12. Hebrews chapter 5, verse 10 to 12, the Bible says, call of God and high priest after the order of Melchizedek. Okay? We have Melchizedek in existence. Did you know? It is Brasso's grandson is called Melchizedek. Okay, so Sister Song Chi came, right? She gave birth already. And the son's name is Melchizedek. Okay, don't ask me. The name is Melchizedek, all right? We do have high. Say, why do this name? And then shout and say, you know. Anyway, say, poor thing in spelling would be a problem, I think. But anyway, okay. Call of God and high priest after the order of Melchizedek. Nothing wrong with the name, by the way. If you want to choose Melchizedek, that's fine. It's just interesting. Verse 11. Paul then goes on to say, of whom we have many things to say and hard to be uttered, seeing ye are dull of hearing. Paul says, look, I want to teach you about Melchizedek, which is one of the, not the strange doctrine of the Bible, but a harder to understand scripture, because there's a lot of mystery shrouded in this person called Melchizedek. We know he's a high priest, we know he's without hand. He's a prince of Salem in the Old Testament, but a lot of argument about, is he Christ, is it real king? Some people take different positions. Paul says, look, I cannot even discuss this with you. Why? Because you're dull of hearing. The word dull means fat, thick. In other words, ting pu ching, cannot go in one. You know, thick. You're dull of hearing. It's like, they said, it's like a heart that's filled with layers of fat. So that when you poke, kind of like when, now Esther Joy likes to poke my tummy, I gotta work at it. Right? You can't tickle me because it's still this layers of fat, you know? You poke, jump straight away, right? But it's layers of fat. It just doesn't go in, you know? Paul says, I cannot discuss this with you. You're dull of hearing. In verse 12, he made a very important comment. For the time, ye ought to be teachers. You know what Paul is saying? There comes a time in our Christian life we should be teaching others. We should be teaching others. Ye have need that one teach you again, which be the first principles of the oracles of God. And I become such as have need of milk and not of strong meat. How many of you, I think there's this person right now, he's about 20 years old, but he's like a child. I was reading on the internet, I think some of you may know, this person who just doesn't grow, he just still behaves even at 20 years of age, that he's 20 years, but he's like a little child, still doesn't grow. And so scientists trying to find the gene that, you know, eternal youthfulness, you know, kind of thing. But the person is not even growing and developing a problem. You know, when Christians like, okay, Brother Gideon, if Adele cannot stand by now, would you be concerned? How old is she now? 1 year, 2 months, right? Okay, is she like, not yet, but is she standing already? Yeah, she's standing, right? Can you imagine if Adele doesn't even stand right now? Can you imagine if Adele doesn't have difficulty feeding? Can you imagine if Adele doesn't really... She's observing. Even Adele don't care. You know, from a KK rehab perspective, we will actually be quickly sending the child for assessment. You know why? Autism. He doesn't respond socially. There's this social... lack of social intent, they call it. I saw one child, three and a half years old, had Klinefelter syndrome. Okay, Klinefelter syndrome is a male and a female organ in the same body. Okay? And at 3.5 years, he cannot even sit. Every time she does this, she will just flop on the floor. And she will always have people to hold her head, feed her. She cannot feed, she cannot reach out, you know? A baby at 2 weeks is okay. A baby at 3.5 years is a big problem. Okay? Right? Would you agree with that? What do you think God feels? After a while, if we don't grow in our Christian life, we actually become someone that becomes a burden. That's what Paul is referring to. For when the time ye ought to be teachers. I believe one of these things, like things, the purpose of the church, we need reminders of the purpose. One of the things, as a pastor, I've been thinking through a lot of things. You know, we cannot be going through the same stuff again and again and again. Agree? We need to be growing in our knowledge. Okay? So let's be praying. In verse 13, Hebrews 5:13, everyone that uses milk is unskillful in the word of righteousness. If all we talk about is always the same thing again and again and again and again, and again, we're not moving forward, we have a problem. Okay? For he's a babe. God make it clear. If we just reverberate around the same themes again and again in our Christian life, we're not growing. God says, you are a baby. I was speaking to Russell, and he was saying that people in his church, they can know a lot. He doesn't care. If they're not moving and doing something for God, he's still a baby. Because babies just, of course, even babies move. They play. God says, if we just use milk, and we want to go through again, the same thing again and again, we become unskillful in the word of righteousness. In verse 14, because strong meat belongeth to them that are of full age, even those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. Let's say if someone comes in to preach a wrong doctrine, can we identify it? I'm going to tell you, there's a lot of smooth preachers on the internet. You need to know and identify who they are. And many times it's not what they say. Many times it's what they don't say. Okay, I was reading an article on one particular person. He was a very prominent preacher, right? Very prominent preacher. on the internet. And what he did was, he was invited to a Mormon church to preach. He struggled for a while in his testimony. He went anyway because he felt it was an unusual invitation. So he went and preached to a whole Latter-day Saints, a whole Mormon congregation. And he drew the parallel between the redemptive work of Christ. And he at the end of his message, he received a standing ovation. A Christian preacher got a standing ovation from the Mormons. Okay? There was one particular lady who attended that meeting. She was an ex-Mormon. She actually wrote a letter to this preacher. And she said, "I'm very sad that you failed to make it clear that there's no salvation in the Mormon church. It's not what you say. It's not sometimes, it's actually what sometimes the preachers don't say." He was actually asked this question. I was reading the testimony. "Sir, what is the difference between Mormonism and Christianity?" His reply, "I must remember I'm a guest here." And he evaded that whole question. You actually have a whole field of people that you can just share the gospel with. And this lady wrote to him later and said, "Sir, I'm very sad." And that's something that is not what they say, not what they don't say. We need to teach believers God's word. Okay? Very quickly, just two more points. The next one is to provide fellowship for believers. The purpose of the local church is to provide fellowship for believers. It's all there. The basis of our Christian fellowship, you can refer to the passage, okay? The basis of Christian fellowship is the person of Christ. We're all Christians. That's why we can have fellowship. Alright, now fellowship is close, okay? And then there's the nature of a Christian fellowship is sharing doctrine, God's word, and also the things that we have, God has given to us. The danger of losing Christian fellowship by our sin. Sometimes when we sin against God, we literally break that fellowship because of sin. Okay, could be anything. Okay, and then the responsibility of Christian fellowship are to bear one another's burdens, it's all there. And if you have a problem, I need as brother to bear your burdens too. Okay, and that's what Jesus Christ wants us to do in the local church, to gently then restore the brother, comfort and exhort one another. We need to build up one another, edify one another. We need to pray for one another. And thank God for the prayer retreat, those who came. We had a wonderful time of praying. Some of the messages will be actually put on the internet as well, just short devotions. We need to forgive one another, Colossians 3:13. We need to rebuke sin in one another. That's hard. For example, if a pastor I smoke, I say, "Pastor, you shouldn't be smoking." And the reason why you say that is not because you hate me. The reason why you say that is because you love me, right? You want to get me back. No, I'm not above reproach. Only God is. But I need to be blameless as far as God is concerned. You know, if someone is living in sin, then another brother who cares needs to say, "Hey, I think we need to work at that." Not in a judgmental way. Say, "Look, I care for you, but you know, you cannot continue like that." Rebuking sin one another. Because the Bible says, Proverbs 27, verse 6, "Faithful are the wounds of a friend. The kisses of an enemy are deceitful." Okay, rebuke sin in one another. Point number 7, very quickly. We need to provoke one and each other to love and to good works. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 25. Sorry, verse 24. "And let us consider one another to provoke." The word provoke means literally to irritate one another. Listen, if someone don't do something, why don't come? Come on! You know, we irritate them, we provoke them. Why? Because you want them to grow. And just like we will get, "Sorry, you got to sweep the floor." No, you got to sweep. It's good for you. Come, let's try. Let's push that person gently. Okay, but firmly. Provoke one another to love and to good works. That's the purpose of the church. Can I just encourage an attitude? When someone comes and say, even for myself, "Pastor, I think you should do that." You know, the first response should be, "Thank you for telling me. Thank you for telling me." Let's have that approach when you come as a church. "Thank you for telling me." If you agree with that and it's true, just take it on. If it's not, just explain yourself. And move on. Let's have the one thinking that we're trying to help one another walk the Christian road. Okay? In Galatians 6:10, let me just read. "As we have therefore opportunity, let us do good unto all men." And Paul says, "especially unto them who are of the household of faith." Especially to Christians. "As we have therefore opportunity, let's do good to all men." As Christians, our goal is to do good to all men. You know what Paul says, especially to those who are your brothers and sisters? You know what Satan likes to do? Break that up. Because once he breaks that up, we don't have a fighting force. But Paul says, let's do that, all right? Last point, okay, let me just read point 7. By coming to church, we can do good to those attending. We can provoke them to do good works and to show love to others. And if we forsake the church, we can't encourage any fellow believers. And we actually say we don't care about them. Okay? Point number 8. And this is important. Another purpose of the local church, the last one that we're talking about today, to act as a restraining and enlightening influence in this world. Because Jesus says in Matthew chapter 5, verse 13, ye are the salt of the earth. If a salt has lost its savor, wherewith shall it be salted? Is henceforth good for nothing? No, don't worry. Is henceforth good for nothing? But we cast out and trodden under foot of men. Ye are the light of the world, verse 16. Okay, if we work together in the church, we can have a bigger impact on the world for the Lord Jesus Christ. Okay, as we close, okay, any questions as we close? The last point is act as a restraining and enlightening influence in this world. Okay, any questions? Any questions? Okay. The task of the local church is to make as many people like Jesus Christ in the time God has given us. God the Father so greatly loves God the Son that He desires to populate the universe in eternity with people like Christ. He wants to start the work in repentant sinners now. Okay, the challenge for us, are we working with God and the local church to achieve this goal in the ability that you have? Your service to Christ now within the local church will have great effect in eternity. Therefore, let us win the lost, make disciples, and pull one another up in the church that will glorify God. All right, any questions? I hope this will sing in our hearts the purpose of the church. All right, any questions? If not, let's have a word of prayer. Then after that, we have about 20 minutes before the service. Okay, let's pray. Lord, thank you for what you are doing. I pray, Lord, these purposes will be etched in our hearts and our minds. The Father, we will be so clear about what we need to do. Church member, we thank you for visitors and church members who are concerned enough to bring people. I pray, Lord, that their lives will change. Father, the love of Jesus Christ will touch their hearts. And Father, I pray that the word of God preached will bring fruit to our souls. Help us never to forget the purpose of the church. The two E's, edification and evangelism. All our activities, everything that we do, every money, every dollar that God, your people give, has to be channeled towards the implication of those two, whether it's for rental of a place, whether it's for feeding the poor, whether it's for encouraging youth to come. I pray that I, Holy Spirit, Lord, will do a great work for the glory of God in Ambassador Baptist Church. Well, thank you. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.